Glory to us, amen. Lord bless you.
All right. I'm going to start in Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and verse 1. Looking tonight at a little bit of the topic, not by bread alone. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1 in a second here. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for your love and for your goodness. And we do want to thank you for this day set aside to remember our mothers and just all they've done for us and sacrificed for us. Father, just thank you so much for them. I just pray you'd bless each one here tonight and bless those that might be away from us. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless our time now as we look into your word. Lord, give me the words to say. Lord, forgive me where I failed you. Lord, I just pray that you would open our eyes to something that would be a blessing to our hearts in your word tonight. Now, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. So I was recently reading this passage in my Bible reading, and in verse 3, that phrase really just stuck out to me. Just kind of the context behind that phrase that we're so familiar with, but oftentimes we're more familiar with that phrase, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're often more familiar with it and associate it more with Jesus quoting this passage when he's tempted of the devil after his 40 days in the wilderness. So I'd just like to look at a few things in regards to this verse in the context, and what does that phrase mean here, and what does that mean to us? And first of all, I believe it means that our dependence must be on God to provide for our needs. I'm going to turn to Exodus 16 and verse 1 or verse 2. Exodus 16 and verse 2. So this, in Exodus 16:2, we see here, just prior to this, Israel escaped out of the land of Egypt, and now they're hungry. Exodus 16, verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they walk in my law or no. So we see here that in, as you read the Old Testament, you read the books of Moses, you see that God did indeed provide for Israel in miraculous ways. And in a very true sense, it was, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It was literally the word of God that sent manna down from heaven. It wasn't going to be there otherwise. It wasn't that they were just trying to survive on little critters that were around, or maybe some leftover grain from some nomadic tribe that left some wheat in the field. No, this was literally food from heaven, specifically for them, that was there because of the word of the Lord. But also today, you know, when we apply this to our own lives, God promises to provide for our needs. I'm just going to read Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to turn over to Matthew 6 and verse 30. Matthew 6 and verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we have that same promise of provision in our lives today, that we don't need to worry. That doesn't mean we should be lazy and not go to work tomorrow. Would be nice. But God says he will provide for our needs. It's not something we need to worry about. It's not something that should be the center of our thoughts and attentions every moment. And then number two, when we think about what this phrase means, man shall not live by bread alone, I believe it means that there is more to life, much more to life than filling our bellies. And number one under that, God didn't want a people that was just fed physically. He didn't want just to provide for their every physical need and, oh, that's all he wanted. No, he wanted more than that. So I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9 now. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And then picking up again in verse 32. For as now the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been anything or any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire? Or thou hast heard and as thou hast heard and lived? Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. It was interesting, I was studying this passage, there was one thing that God especially didn't want the people to forget, and that was hearing God speak directly to them at Mount Horeb. And God desired to not just, as we see, provide for their needs physically, but he wanted to have a people that he could talk to, that he could that would walk with him and that would seek him, people that he could have a relationship with. I'm going to read verse 28. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men hands and wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek with or him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And that's what God wanted in Israel. He wanted a people that would seek him with all their hearts. And he promised that he would be found of those that would seek after him. I'm going to turn to 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 7. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. And it's no wonder that the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. He understood that God wanted in Israel a people that would seek him. And then number two, God wanted a people that would be a light to the world. And as I was studying through this section, it was really fun to see. You know, often we read the Old Testament and we think of the whole world like revolving around Israel, in the sense of we don't hear too much about what's happening elsewhere in the world. As you follow Israel, you know, through, you know, into Egypt and out of Egypt into the Promised Land. But what about the rest of the world? Well, as we look at, we'll look into this in a second, but God wanted Israel to be the light of the whole world. I'm going to turn to, actually, we're right here in 1 Chronicles 16. I'm just going to jump over to verse 23. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. So in this Psalm of David, we see again, a man after God's own heart, he understood that it was Israel's job, it was their job to show the entire world that there is a God that created the world. All the gods that people made up are just vanity. They don't hear, they can't smell, they can't see. But there is a God, and he wanted to be that light to the whole world to point to the Lord. I'm going to turn to Exodus 19 and verse 5. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So we see here declared the one of the purposes for Israel was that not just one tribe, not just some people, but the whole nation would be holy. That the whole nation would be a nation of holy priests. I'm going to turn back to Deuteronomy 4. In verse 5, Deuteronomy 4, 5, Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I have set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So we see here that God wanted Israel to be example to the nations of a wise and understanding people. If Israel followed the Lord, Israel was to be that example where the whole world would look and see that God was working in the nation of Israel. I'm going to turn to Zechariah 8, verse 21. Zechariah 8, 21 through 23. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And just studying these passages is just amazing to see what God had plans for Israel. Of course, we know that they didn't obey him and follow him like they should have, but God intended that Israel would be that holy nation of priests, that they would be the light to the whole world to show that there is a God, an incredible, loving, and powerful God. And we see here Jerusalem mentioned, and Jerusalem was to be that center of worship of that one true and living God. So I think the greatest example we see of Israel being that light at one point in their history was with Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. I'm going to turn to 1 Kings, and 1 Kings 10, starting in verse 1. 1 Kings 10, verse 1, and when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions, and she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. So it was interesting as you read this. The Queen of Sheba didn't just hear about this famous guy in this far country that was really rich and had lots of cool stuff. But she heard the fame of Solomon in verse 1 concerning the name of the Lord. So it wasn't Solomon necessarily that got the glory for all this wisdom and riches, but it was Israel being a light at one point in time. Of course, we know Solomon had his faults, and he sadly, his many wives took away his heart from the one true and living God. But at one point in time, there was someone that saw Israel and said, oh, I want to go check this out. This is incredible. What's going on here? And we see that, this queen, she traveled a long ways, and she was not disappointed in what she saw. Verse 6, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. So she wasn't disappointed. She didn't even realize the half of what God had blessed Solomon with. I'm going to read Matthew 12:42. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And I don't know if the queen of Sheba accepted Christ as Lord and the God of Israel as her God, but we just know here that she's going to rise up and condemn those that physically saw Jesus and when he was on this earth, and they didn't accept him. They had no excuse to not accept Jesus. They saw the miracles he did. They saw the prophecy fulfilled, but yet they rejected him. And she, the one that traveled from the uttermost part of the earth to go to Israel to see what was happening in Israel, she's going to rise up and condemn the ones that rejected Jesus. And she's a great example of someone who sought the Lord, and she found him. And that we know that throughout history, no matter who it is, no matter where they live, those that seek the Lord will find him. And then later on, we see that Solomon was used to build a temple that was supposed to be the center of worship for the one true God. I'm going to turn over here to 2 Chronicles 7:13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So we see that, you know, we saw the other verse earlier in Zechariah about Jerusalem being that center of worship, and that's what the temple was intended to be, to be that holy place that people could go and know that they could talk to the creator of the universe. I'm going to turn back to, or go back to Deuteronomy 8 and verse 11. So we know that we've seen that Israel was presented this huge opportunity to be a light, but of course we know that they weren't always that. And there were some very stern warnings if they weren't going to be what God wanted them to be. Deuteronomy 8, starting verse 11, "Beware lest thou forget the Lord, or beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, and from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and make thee and prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." So we see here a stern warning for Israel that if they would not seek the Lord, if they wouldn't live according to his word, that they would perish. And, you know, as you look at the history of Israel, of course, they had their ups and downs, but we see, you know, throughout history that they were scattered abroad, that they were led captive. Jerusalem was destroyed so many different times, and sadly, they didn't stay faithful to that one true God. And that city Jerusalem, which was supposed to be the center of the worship of the one true God, sadly became the center of persecution for those who truly follow the Lord. Matthew 23 and verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And we saw earlier that Israel was to be that nation of priests, not just have one tribe that was a priest, but a whole nation of priests. But sadly, those priests and the supposed spiritual leaders of Jesus' day were hypocrites. Matthew 23, verse 27, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And then in Matthew 26:63. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. So Israel was supposed to be that nation of priests, but we see here that it was a high priest that condemned Jesus to death. So we see Israel had their up and down in time periods, and they failed in so many ways, but we can rejoice that God's mercy never fails. And he could have said, scrap it all, but he still loved the people of this world, and he came to die on the cross for us. And he even had the mercy to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He even forgave those that put him up there on the cross. So that was just an interesting study as I looked at man shall not live by bread alone. And as I looked through it, you know, I couldn't help but think of our nation and the parallels between our nation and the nation of Israel. You know, as a nation, we followed the Lord in the past, and we've been blessed so incredibly. We really have been a light to the whole world. We've seen so much darkness. There's been so many nations that have looked at the United States of America, you know, as the epitome of a land of liberty and hope and freedom. And it really is incredible if you look at American history and just think that, you know, it was only a couple hundred years ago we were this couple of colonies, and there was such a great vast wilderness. But now, you know, we have an incredible country that became the greatest world power and sending people into space and doing these incredible things and all this technology and transportation advancements and just so many things that God has blessed us with because we were an example of a Christian nation that feared God and a people that follows the Lord, God will bless. And still around the world, we are that beacon of hope for so many nations, even though, of course, our nation's not heading in a good direction. But I was watching some videos from Iran, and apparently the government of Iran has painted American flags and Israeli flags on like sidewalks, on roadways, wherever people walk through. They've painted flags, American and Israeli flags, to try to get their people to walk on them and disrespect these flags. And they'll put them, I saw one video of where they had the American flag on like a staircase, and they had video of the people of Iran refusing to walk on these flags. They didn't want to walk on the American flag or the Israeli flag. It was incredible. They showed a video of all these people. There was like a big busy street, a bunch of people walking down it. But there was just like little areas on the end where you could walk through the street and not step on the American flag. And so all these people are refusing to go in the middle and going on these edges. It was just incredible. But, you know, and of course, these same people, the people of Iran, they also tear down the government flags there just because there's so much oppression. And they wish they had the liberty that we have in our country today. And sadly, so many people in our nation don't understand the freedom that we have, and they disrespect our flag. And it's just sad to see. But still, our nation is that example, even today, in our wickedness, of a free nation. And that was only because of the blessing of God. You know, Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And we, as a nation, need to get back to the place where we would have God's blessing. We need to apply 2 Chronicles 7:14 in our nation. But then applying to us, you know, what does it mean to not live by bread alone in our lives? And then number one under that, today it is the church that has the mission of being the light to the world. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So I pray that we would do our part in getting out that gospel to the world and being the light that God wants us to be. And then number two, under that point, God wants us to always be seeking him and not forget him when we, you know, might have a full belly or feel secure. And then number three, we need to watch out for Satan's temptations as we seek to live our lives, not by bread alone. And as I was looking through this, it was interesting to also just look at the passage where Jesus used that phrase. So I'm going to turn quickly to Matthew 4, starting verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we see here that Satan tempted Jesus with three different things. He tried to get him to fall with the temptation of food, and he tempted him with testing the protection of God, and then he also tempted him with premature power. And Satan can use those same things today to tempt us, to get us focused on food and daily provision rather than focusing on the Lord. And we saw that Israel fell prey to that temptation of once their bellies were full and they felt safe in the land that the Lord had given them, they forgot the Lord. But we just need to put on the whole armor of God, because that's how we'll be able to stand against the temptations of the devil. So I just found it interesting just to study the more of the context around the first time that phrase was used in the Bible, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I just hope it was a blessing to you as it was to me, and I pray that God will help us to be the light that we need to be. Israel failed so many times, but I hope we and our churches don't fail at the mission of being the light that we need to be. Well, let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for your word, and thank you for the truth of it. Thank you that you preserved it for us. Father, we thank you that you desire to have a relationship with us, and that you desire us to seek you, and you promise that you will be found when we seek you. Lord, forgive us for our apathy and laziness in our country where we haven't been the light that we need to be. Lord, I just pray that our nation would turn back to you, that we would be that shining city on a hill again for you, that the world would look at our nation and say, wow, God must be on that land. Father, I just pray that you just guide and direct now and bless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.